At California Psychics, we know that sometimes you can wake up thinking,
ugh, I don't know if I'm in the right career. Ew. Or the right relationship.
But whatever your life dilemma, at California Psychics, we'll give you the guidance you need to feel certain about your life choices. And because we only connect you with the very best, we guarantee if your reading isn't life-changing, it's free. California Psychics. Visit CaliforniaPsychics.com today for limited time offers.
Matt Scraby back with you here. Tony Gwynn Jr. will return for the Big Five at 4:40-ish. We're going to play a little game here for your chance to win a qualification to Las Vegas. And then at 5 p.m., we will hear from the, I believe we'll hear from the skipper, Mike Schilt. So if he had, I know that he has already done his scrum. I just need to talk to my guy, Adam and Sam, and see if we can replay some of that. But right now, we are going to play a little game. It's going to be different from yesterday, so if you would like a chance, 833-288-0973, you can give us a call. You will be qualified for a chance to win our grand prize, a two-night stay at Park MGM Las Vegas, two tickets to Motley Crue on September 19th, and a $100 gas card. Catch Motley Crue's Las Vegas residency at Dolby Live at Park MGM September 12th through October 3rd. Tickets at Ticketmaster.com. We'll get into that in just a second, but as I was looking for the Mike Schilt audio on the 97.3 The Fan SD Twitter, I saw a retweet from our Twitter, and it was of Sam Levitt's video of Yu Darvish throwing on the field today. So that's a really good sign for everybody out there that Yu Darvish is playing catch today. A day after he made his Padres season debut yesterday, went 3 2/3, and we talked about that a little bit earlier. He looked pretty good for a guy who hasn't pitched in a while, and he looked pretty. It was welcomed to see Yu Darvish on the mound. It was very nice to see Yu Darvish on the mound because it's been tough with the starting pitchers, with Michael King and Yu Darvish out. It's been tough, but somehow this is where we need to give the Padres credit. Even with the injuries that they've had this year, where they missed Jackson Merrill for almost a month or maybe a month, then he went on the IL for a concussion, then he had Jake Cronenworth with a broken rib. For all the injuries they've had this year on either side, they have kept it together for the most part. I know that on a day-to-day basis it doesn't seem like that, but I believe they've kept it together. And they just need to keep themselves afloat until the reinforcements get there. I said this on the Scraby Show maybe 2 months ago. Help is on the way, just like Mrs. Doubtfire said. And so help is on the way once again. And I think sometimes we need a little perspective on the Padres. Because if you are a Cleveland Guardians fan, you came into the year thinking that this was a year that they might be able to compete, and they are well under 500. So that could be the Padres, knock on wood. It's not the Padres, so I think we have to, you know, sometimes keep it in a little perspective. All right, let's get to the game real quick, and this is how it's going to work. It's Padres trivia, and so I'm actually going to throw in, on top of this, two tickets to the Padres Diamondbacks game tomorrow night. The first 40,000 fans will receive a free Padres City Connect straw hat. Get tickets at padres.com/tickets. So we're going to do some Padres trivia. You have to get three in a row correct. And there's no such rule as if Chris misses one, then you're on to the next category. If you miss it, you're out. So that's how it's going to work. Try to make it a little bit more simple for today. But we will start. I'm trying to get my phone screener up. We will start. Let's start with Ben. Hello, Ben.
Hello.
How are you?
Doing well. How are you doing?
Good. Are you ready to play this game?
I am.
All right. So I'm going to get a little music going, and then I'm going to ask you questions. You need to get three in a row right, and you will end up winning these tickets and the qualification to Las Vegas, or for the Las Vegas trip. There are two guys, Ben, tied for the lead in home runs on the Padres. Name both.
For Fernando Tatis and Gavin Sheets.
Gavin Sheets. I'm sorry, Ben. That is incorrect. Hold on. I got to move my bed. It was, you got one half of it. It was Fernando Tatis Jr. and Manny Machado. So that's how the game's going to work. You have to get three in a row. If you don't get one right, you are eliminated. So it's a little bit, there's a little bit more on the line here this time around. All right, let me get my bag going again. Now we're in a good place on the board. Let's go to our next contestant, and that will be Kyle. Hello, Kyle. You ready to play?
Yes, Gravy. Thank you.
All right.
Go.
You're welcome. Thank you for playing. First question. Gosh dang, I have way too many tabs open, everybody. All right, who has the best WAR on the team right now?
I would have to go with the guy playing almost every day, Manny Machado.
Manny Machado. I'm sorry, that is incorrect. Manny Machado is second in WAR. Fernando Tatis Jr. is first in WAR for this season. Fernando's got a 3.7 WAR. Manny Machado has a 2.8 WAR. So I'm sorry about that, Kyle. That is incorrect. See, this game's a little bit harder when you can't miss a question. That is for sure. Let's go to Tim in La Mesa. Hello, Tim. You ready to play?
Hey, Scraves. Sure, why not?
All right, let's go. First question. How many games did the Padres win to start the season before they lost their first?
Seven.
Seven is correct. All right, we're on to round number two. I like that. That would have been a hard question. And they're in no order. They're not like Chris versus the fans, easy, medium, hard. It's just questions. All right, Tim, question number two. Two Padres pitchers have pitched a complete game this year. Name both.
Kolick and... God, I remember the Kolick game when we blew out the Rockies.
I will give you that one. That is correct.
No. So
you have one more.
A lot of choices. Our starters have been pretty thin, so let's say Pivetta did it.
Pivetta. I'm sorry, Tim. That is incorrect. You had the one. Kolek was in Colorado, and Michael King was at home against Colorado, got the complete game earlier in the year. I'm sorry, you are eliminated. Ooh, I kind of want to say you are the weakest link. Goodbye. Because that's what I do. All right, this is how the game is working. Let's go to our next contestant. We are going to go to Kevin in Escondido. Hello, Kevin. How are you doing?
Good, Scraby. How are you?
Pretty good. Are you ready to play?
Yeah, let's go.
All right. Question number one. Which Padre pitcher has the most wins so far this season?
Pivetta.
Pivetta is correct. Nice job. Nice job. All right. Here we go. Question number two. Which Padre... Why is it not? Which Padre... There it goes. Which Padre has the most stolen bases this season?
That's Toddy.
Toddy is correct. He has 19. He's been caught stealing twice. So that was pretty good. Here, let me get back to this, and then we will ask the third and final question. You get this right, then you are going to be headed to the Padres game. You'll also be qualified for that Las Vegas. Who has grounded into the most double plays so far this season for the Padres?
That's a hard one. We'll go with Bogarts.
Bogarts. Incorrect. I'm sorry. You were almost there, Kevin. Actual answer is Manny Machado. He's grounded into 11 double plays this year. Xander Bogarts is grounded into 8 double plays this year. So there. We lose another player. Let's go to Art. Hello, Art.
How you doing, buddy?
Good, good. You ready to play?
Yes.
All right, here we go. Question number one. Who has played the most games for the Padres this season?
Oh, it's got to be our boy Machado. It's got to be him.
Correct. He is the leader. He has 90 games played. Xander Bogaerts has 88. Fernando Tatis Jr. has 87. So that is pretty good. Here we go to the second question. Who has the most triples for the Padres this year?
Oh, the triples?
Mm-hmm.
I think it's between... it was Merrill last year. It's got to be between... Who's a fast runner? I got to say... And it can't be that many triples.
Nope.
It's got to be...
Gonna need an answer.
Arias, he's got to be... He hit so much. Arias.
You were correct, Art. That is incredible. I did not think anyone would have guessed Arias would be the leader in triples.
He hits the ball so much, and he's got quick little feet. I mean, last year was Merrill, Cronenworth. I'm thinking those guys are slumping. Got to be...
See, you're playing the game. You're playing the game. Luis Arraez has four triples this year. Fernando has two. Jackson Merrill has two. Tyler Wade has two. So very, very, lucky. Very nice job.
Got lucky.
All right, here we go. Was that the first or second question?
That was the second one.
I thought so. I forgot to write it down. Question number three. If you get this right, you will be heading to the game and you will be qualified for the trip to Las Vegas. Which Padre has drawn the most walks this season?
The most walks? Gotta be who's played a lot of games. I'm gonna guess Tatis.
Tatis? You are correct, Art. Nice job. You are the winner. You got all three. Stay right there, Art. I got to go to break, but I'm going to get your information in the break. Again, I don't know if we'll be playing this tomorrow, but we will be trying another game tomorrow. This was actually a little bit better than yesterday's game, I would think. If you have any thoughts on which game was better, hit me up in the chat on YouTube. Just search 97.3 The Fan when you go to YouTube, and Art is the winner right there. Thank you for playing, Art. Thank you for playing it thank you to everyone who called and tried to play. We'll do it again tomorrow. When we get back, I want to figure out how to get some production in the 7-9 spot for the Padres. I have some stats. I have some things I want to talk about. So stick around. That's next on 97.3 The Fan. Matt Scravey back with you here Tuesday afternoon. If you want to watch the show, you can on YouTube. Just search 97.3 The Fan in YouTube, and you'll be able to find the live broadcast there. You could also watch on Facebook. You can watch on Twitch. And you can watch on my X, at Matt Scravey, MattSkraby, as in boy, Y. So if you want to follow me on those things, you can as well. At Matt Scravey, MattSkraby, as in boy, Y, for Twitter and Instagram. Funny story about how I originally set up my Twitter even before I was in radio, like way before I was in radio. And I thought, I have to have one that says Matt Scravey because that's who I am. Wish I would have claimed the Scravey name. Number one, it's shorter, which means I get more characters to type by four, I guess. And number two, it's just easier to say. But there's someone who has at Scravey, and they live in Russia or near in the Eastern European area. And I have messaged them asking because they never tweet ever. Like they tweet like the minimum so their account doesn't get shut down. So they tweet like once a year. That may be wrong, but they tweet very, very sparingly. And so I contacted them one year and I said, hey, my last name is Scravey. You have Scravey. You're not really using your Twitter account all that much. Is there a way you can give it to me? And what do you think they said? Said, how much are you willing to pay me for it? And I said, $0. See you later, sir. So still don't have the at Scravey, but I do check in every once in a while, see if it's gone. And it hasn't gone anywhere yet. But my Twitter account is at Matt Scravey, and my Instagram is at Matt Scravey. Big news of the day, Jackson Merrill is moving down to the fifth spot in the lineup. First five go Tatis, Arise, Machado, Sheets, and then Merrill. But what I wanted to say in this segment, and we're going to hear from Xander Bogaerts a little bit later about Manny Machado and 2,000 hits. He kind of puts it in perspective, so stick around for that in the 5 o'clock hour. But if you're looking at every single place in the batting order and where they are their best, there's two spots hitting in the 290s for this season. The third spot and the fourth spot. So that's usually been reserved for Manny, usually been reserved for Jackson Merrill, usually been reserved for Luis Arraez. So those guys are hitting in the 3 and 4 spot. 297 for the fourth spot, which really did surprise me because it seems like they're not... It seems like the cleanup hitter has not been all that great this year, but these numbers are kind of telling me that the cleanup hitter's been just fine. The OPS of the cleanup hitter is 782, which is not terrible, but it's not great for a traditional power spot in the batting order. But when you look at spots 1 and 2, they're averaging 262 for the year. If you're looking at spots 3 through 6, they are also averaging 262. But then when you go from spots 7 through 9 is when things take a real big turn. Batting 7th, 8th, or 9th this year, the Padres have hit 209 with an OPS of 585. Now, that is the ninth spot has been reserved for catchers, and the catchers have not hit well this year. So that makes sense to me. But when you're looking at going the seventh spot, they're hitting 240. So that is not great, but it is enough for me in the seventh spot. In the eighth spot, they're hitting 193. In the ninth spot, they're hitting 194 with OPSs 572 and 548. You are not getting anything out of the eighth and the ninth spot. So when I say automatic out at the end of the lineup, obviously I'm not being like super serious, but this is as close to an automatic out as you can get. The eighth and ninth spots are very important to any lineup. And so when you're getting down to the bottom of the order, it's not that scary to face the eighth and the ninth hitters. And if you're going to try to get guys on base for the guys at the top of the order, you're not getting guys on base for the first or second or third hitter in the order. And that's a big problem. Maybe not game to game because it could work out one day, but not for the next 5 days. But if you add it up over a whole season, you're not giving your guys at the top of the lineup enough opportunity to drive runners in. And although they haven't been great in with runners in scoring position this year, the opportunity is better than no opportunity. So when people are saying, well, they're not hitting with runners in scoring position, yeah, that is a big deal because obviously it's a metric that we use to determine success and run scoring. But if you're not going to... I just think that if you're not going to give these guys an opportunity to drive them in, then what can you do at the bottom of the order to help out? Can you have long at bats? Can you, you know, drive? And when I say long at bats, I mean drive up the pitch count. Can you make the pitcher work? Can you do something that is going to be a net positive, even if you're not getting on base, even if you're not walking? Are you contributing somehow? And that's kind of been a theme, because when we talked to Jake Cronenworth in, I almost said training camp, spring training, he said that he wanted to focus on one thing this year, and that would be to stay within himself and stay in the moment. And when he is going bad at the plate, he wants to be successful at other things, because if you let the rut at the plate get to you, then you're not good anywhere, and then you're just a net negative for everyone. But if you are, say, playing really good defense but not hitting well, you can get away with that for a little bit. And I think that I think that this team is desperately needing a more consistent bat. I don't know that they're going to be able to get a new catcher. I don't know that there's a catcher on the market that they could trade for right now and just stick them into the lineup and stick them into that pitching staff and not really worry about the transition troubles. But I just think that you have to do something at the 8 or 9 spot. And I see a lot of people that blame the guys on the bench. And I'll point out these guys are not doing great, but they were never supposed to be your big run scorers, makers, hitters, all of that. They were never supposed to be that. They were a supplement to the lineup. The big hitters are the main course. Here, okay, I got an example. I tried an example on Tony earlier. It didn't work, but I got an example. The big hitters of the lineup are the main course, and the bench players are the appetizers. If you have appetizers and you have a dinner at the restaurant and both are not great, you don't sum up the entire dinner like going home being like, hey, the appetizers were bad. No, you most likely say that the main course was not great. Or you could say everything was not great, but you aren't going to sum up the bad meal with, well, those appetizers ruined everything for me. No one really talks about the appetizers if they're bad. So I think in this case, the main course is the 1, 2, 3, 4 spots, and the appetizers are the 7, 8, 9 spots. The 5th and 6th, we're going to keep them out. Maybe they're like an hors d'oeuvre or something. But 7th, 8th, 9th spots, you're not, they were not, they are not being paid to be the stars of the team. So I get criticism because they're not helping when they need to be helping, and it's a, and baseball is a what have you done for me lately, which I totally understand because there's so many games and there's so many different things that happen throughout a season that you kind of have to go with the flow on that. But you're not going to, at the end of the year, be like, say, I'm just knocking on wood, say they miss the playoffs. They miss the playoffs. At the end of the year, you're going to be like, man, Manny, Fernando, Jackson, Luis Arraez, they all failed us this year. I don't think anybody's going to be like, you know who the problem with this team? Tyler Wade. This team is terrible because of Tyler Wade. Or this team is terrible because of Trenton Brooks. No one's going to say that. Now, they're not guys that are going to hit. I mean, Trenton Brooks should be hitting for more power. But, and like I said yesterday, I like what Trenton Brooks is doing, but I know that he needs to produce now because they're looking for bats on the trade market. We heard AJ Preller say that yesterday. And if you're not going to get contributions from those guys, then you might have to look elsewhere. I mean, you're just not going to blame it the whole season on these guys, the whole failure of a season on these guys. I don't know why I got off on this rant about the bench players, but I see a lot of people complaining about the bench players, and bench players are bench players for a reason. They're not good enough to be an everyday player. So I don't know what else people can expect, but I don't expect Tyler Wade to hit a home run every time he goes up there just because he's not being paid for that. And that's not his skill set. So I think we need to take everyone with a case by case basis. And I also want to talk about, I'll talk about this a little bit later. I want to talk about their hitting with the bases loaded. They still are yet to have a grand slam this year, which is crazy. So I'll get into that a little bit later because I think that's worth talking about. But when the bases are loaded, Padres have not been good this year. And we should go over those numbers a little bit later. All right. I'm Matt Scraby. This is Gwynn and Chris. Gwynn joins me on the other side for the Big Five. Second day in a row I've done an open where I didn't hit my microphone. Second day in a row, everyone. Just an idiot over here. Kidding. It happens from time to time. But it seems to be happening to me a lot lately. We have the Big Five ahead, which is going to feature a lot of the best of the rest stories around sports. And then at 5 o'clock we have some audio that I want to play you. Mike Schilt asking or answering why he moved Jackson Merrill down in the lineup. You have Xander Bogaerts talking about a bunch of stuff. 2,000 hits for Manny. which is another huge momentous occasion that I have not mentioned enough today, but Manny Machado gets his 2,000th hit last night. And I do think that Tony and I both said that Manny was going to get his 2,000th hit on Monday against the Diamondbacks, so we predicted that correctly. I should have bet on it or something. But with that said, I'm waiting. Oh, traffic has been updated. Here we go. We're going to go into traffic and then the Big Five with Tony Gwynn Jr. and myself.
It's that time of the show when we check on the latest in sports. Only the most important topics and questions are brought to light.
Stop what you're doing and listen.
These news stories will astound and amaze you. The one, the only.
Oh my God, who the hell cares?
The Big Five starts now on 97.3 The Fan.
All right, we're going to get started today with little Rafael Devers and what happened in San Francisco. And I'm not sure if the Boston Reporter is really trying to do a hit piece on him or if the Boston Reporter is reporting accurate information. But they were reporting, and they were did this on our sister station, WEEI. Will Fleming, Red Sox broadcaster, has now reported that Rafael Devers skipped an early first base workout with Giants coach Will Clark, suggesting that he's not as committed to the chains as the Giants might have hoped. I guess this was the weekend the Rooks played the Giants, and so he was there, and he said that he was a no-show. The quote is this: they don't yet know what is going to happen with the player. I was there the second day while Clark was there to work on ground balls with him on first base, and Raffy didn't show up. So that's the person that these guys have been dealing with for a long time, talking about the Red Sox. So my question to you, Tony...
Wait, read me his quote again.
I'll read the second part. I was there the second day Will Clark was there to work on ground balls with him on first base, and Raffy didn't show up. So that's the person that these guys have been dealing with for a long time. And he was telling that to the radio station in Boston. So my question to you, Tony, is this a hit piece or is this just the truth?
I'm going to wait to see on this. You know, his brother Dave Fleming is actually the broadcaster for the Giants, and so it's interesting. We'll wait to see. It could very well be that, you know, Flem was out there, and you know, what's the guy's name? Devers hadn't shown up, right? And you know, he could have left to go do his work, and maybe he showed up later. I am very interested to see how the Giants are going to respond to this. If they say anything at all, if they don't say anything, it might be telling. But if they come out and they defend it, or they deny it, I think this would just be a bunch of Boston folks.
Malarkey. You know,
trying to, you know, not even Boston folks. Let's just say the Boston media trying to spin this a certain way. If that is the case, I'm going to give it a few days before to give... See if the Giants actually respond to it.
My take on this is it's a hit piece. Because why is this coming out? The Giants played the Red Sox, what, 2 weekends ago? 3 weekends ago, maybe? Why is this just being reported now?
It wasn't that long ago, was it?
Devers was traded a couple weeks ago. So, I mean, this is not new news. There has been other stuff that has happened in between. And I feel like this is a Boston reporter slash broadcaster who's just appealing to his Boston audience and trashing a player that everybody wants you to trash. This sounds like it's a hit piece to me. And looking a little bit further into some things, like the Giants have not commented on this yet, but looking a little bit further, I guess they've said throughout their acquiring process of Devers that they did not want him working out at first base early on. So I don't know where he got the thing that said that he was supposed to go out there and do that. Maybe there was a miscommunication with the reporter.
You know, one guy who if he feels like there's some facts not actually right, who will respond is Will Clark himself. He has no problem with getting himself out there. So that's why I'm saying I'm going to wait and see this. You're right. I didn't realize it had been so long since that happened. And that does beg a whole bunch of questions, right? Like, you, why now? I'm trying to dial back the phone to see when it was that the Giants played Boston.
It was at least 2 weeks ago. I'm going to go into it too, because it was right after they traded for Rafael Devers, and then they ended up playing the Red Sox right that same weekend.
Right. It was a while back. I mean, it is a little fishy that it's coming out this late after the fact. Like, that's something that would have been juicy enough that you're delivering, like, when it happens.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Like, that should even take long. Yes, June 22nd is when they played, the last game they played.
So 16 days ago. So, like,
You're right. I don't know if it's a hit piece. I'm not going to say it's a hit piece, but I'm going to say that I'm going to wait to see if more facts come out on this one.
Which I don't know that the Giants should say anything about this, because it happened so long ago. Like, if you find this out as Will Fleming, don't you immediately go and tweet it or something, or at least talk about it to someone?
I'm saying that seems like the thing that I mean, that's what I would be thinking, right?
Yeah, it doesn't make sense to say it a couple weeks later. Later!
I will say this. If I'm the Giants, I think you do say something, because if your plan is to, you know, I mean, you got Devers for quite a bit of time. You want him to be, you know, happy, and you want to make sure he knows you got his back. So
that is true. That is true. You got to defend your player a little bit, but
especially if he didn't do what they're saying, what he's being accused of doing here.
Yeah, like no showing after he's been traded.
No showing Will Clark, and it's more for the narrative of, oh, the Red Sox, they did the right thing by trading this guy.
Yes.
He was a bad guy. That's the picture they're trying to paint.
This is what they were dealing with.
Even though I do like Dave Fleming, I don't know that I've ever really... I haven't identified Will Fleming on a broadcast, but I don't know. It's a little fishy.
Number four.
Wimbledon players are really annoyed and angered by something tournament organizers have done this year for the first time. Instead of line judges, they have an artificial intelligence system that is supposed to detect whether or not a ball is in or out, but most players are saying the system doesn't work well enough. Even a top British player said they don't think it's 100% accurate. I haven't seen an exact reason for having the lines people removed completely, but my brain immediately goes to it's because they wanted to save a little bit of money. So they also told a couple players that they needed to speed up because it was getting too dark for the AI. So it was like, oh, you guys need to hurry up on your match because our AI can't keep up with you. But my question, and I'm up first, did Wimbledon do the wrong thing? And I think everybody knows where I'm going to go with this. Absolutely, they did the wrong thing. Stop trying to cut corners on important things. Paying that lines person, whatever you're paying, is important. Maybe you can have the AI be the first thing to go to, but then you have the linesman to back it up, or the linesman, then the AI. But this is ridiculous. You're removing the human element. The technology is not ready, and you're literally telling people they have to speed up because the sun's going down and they can't play because the AI system isn't ready. This is how I kind of envision the balls and strikes system going. It's just not going to be ready. And I think that they need to test it a little bit more. But I don't know why. This makes me angry for some reason. It just makes me irked that Wimbledon's like, you know what? We're just going to go with the AI now. We're going to get rid of the people that have been there for hundreds of years. We're going to go with a computer. So there. Tony, did Wimbledon do the wrong thing?
Haven't they already been using, like, a form of AI forever?
Yes, but it's not like the sole decider of what happens in the match. Like, they can go to it.
I mean, but that's the point. Like, isn't it like somebody yells out?
Or they raise their hand or something?
They raise their hand, and don't they go to the system anyway to see if it lined? And it seems pretty accurate to me.
It does, but it's like on every single call. Like, every single call, this thing needs to get it right.
Yeah, well, listen, you shouldn't cut corners if that is indeed what they did. I don't think there was anything wrong with the system that they had in place. It was probably, in terms of getting the call right, probably as good as we got in all of sports, right? I mean, somebody hits a shot baseline to baseline, and it's, you know, we get to see the ball mark in slow motion. I didn't think anything was wrong with it. So based off of that, I would say they made a mistake. It didn't need fixing.
Well, let me just stop paying this lines person £20 per game because it'll save us £80 over the next like week. Really bothers me.
We're talking pounds.
Well, that's where they are. That's where they are. I was going through. So my grandpa gave me a bunch of coins when he passed away, and it's like 40 years worth of coins. And so I've been going through it trying to find rare coins, but a lot of British pounds. So maybe I should send that to Wimbledon, and then they could put it into their lines people fund, and I can get my name on the court or something like that. So.
Oh, yeah, you get your name on the court? Is that what you want?
Yes, instead of center court, it's Matt Scraby court.
Matt Scraby court?
Yes. with the 40 pounds that I found.
Number three.
Yesterday we talked about O'Neal Cruz, and we kind of talked about Brian Reynolds being okay with quote-unquote mediocrity in Pittsburgh. Well, it's really funny that this comes out today.
It is kind of funny.
Noah Hiles, who we had on the show when the Pirates are in town of the Pittsburgh Post-Gazette, he reported that Brian Reynolds has a no-trade clause in his contract that includes several teams, and all of them are in playoff contention. I don't get this. So the clause says that he cannot be traded unless he approves it to the Yankees, the Dodgers, the Mets, the Blue Jays, the Giants, and our own Padres, which is very strange to me. So why, Tony, have a no-trade clause comprised only of contending teams?
Hold on. Before I answer this, I want to look and see if I can find out where... Okay. I would say that you probably enjoy the comfort of just going out and playing baseball and nothing else.
Which is fine.
I that's what I would go with. He's from Baltimore. You know, I was looking to see maybe he was, you know, from Pittsburgh. This is like a thing of home, but he's not from Pittsburgh. Mm-hmm. And I guess Baltimore is close.
Yeah.
So, I mean, he can get there. His families can get there. But I do find it, you know, I don't think it's funny, but... I don't know what the exact word is that every single one of the teams that are on the list happen
peculiar?
To be teams that are good. And then I find it even more hilarious that Evan Longoria in the comments had where did I somebody sent it to me.
I did not see this Evan Longoria.
I'm gonna pull
thing.
It up on my phone right now. I think Jesse might have sent it to me, actually. We had a laugh about it. Hold on.
It's just, yeah. Yeah, it's just...
I just think that some guys are like that. And it's... Oh, here it is. Right here. It's in the... It was on IG. On the an account called North Shore 9.
Okay.
And I don't know what it was in reference to. Maybe it was in reference to this article. But Evan Longoria goes, "Buddy never wants to win."
Oh,
with a laugh. With laughing emoji. And Brian Reynolds has replied, "Chill out, keyboard warrior."
The fact that he replied to that tells me that he's in his head a little bit about it.
Yes, and the caption is, "Evan Longoria came for Brian Reynolds, no trade." That's exactly what it was in reference to the list that was on there.
Bro never wants to win.
The usually quiet Reynolds had some time today, called him a keyboard warrior and kept it moving. Yeah, man. I mean, we're all thinking it. Evan Longoria got in the comments and said it.
And he has some weight behind him, so.
You know, it is what it is. That's okay. Listen, not everybody is chasing wins and legacy and things of that nature. It's just cool. Collecting that check, going out and playing a game they enjoy.
It actually does make sense because remember we were talking about him a while back saying he maybe like hold out or something because he wanted an extension and then he didn't want to play there and then all of a sudden he gets an extension and he wants to play there.
Not only that though, I mean it kind of made sense why the Pirates weren't moving him. They knew that they probably could get an extension with him because he ultimately didn't want to go nowhere.
You know what? I draw the line at any good team in Major League Baseball. I do not. I want to be traded to the Rockies. Get me over to Colorado, please.
Like, I can totally see, like, a couple of them that, you know, it might just be too much. But
yeah, like the Dodgers. Why would you want to join a team with a million people already on the team?
Like, I can get that.
The other ones, though, it's like, why wouldn't you want to come to
San
Diego?
Just all of them? All of them, though? Like,
that's weird.
I mean, it is kind of. But, hey, to each his own.
Yeah, yeah. All right. All right, Brian Reynolds, I see you.
Number two.
I also like Evan Longoria saying that.
Buddy never wants to win.
calm down, keyboard warrior.
I didn't know Longo had that in him.
Yeah,
right,
that's
there.
A little,
man.
That's a good little spat right there.
That's good.
All right. I don't know if I hit this, but I'll hit it anyway.
Number two.
New York
Yankees. Those words definitely stung. That's why he had to get in the comments.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. He definitely stung. Yankee shortstop Anthony Volpe's struggles led to some trash talk by a New York Mets fan on Sunday afternoon in Queens when the Mets were playing the Yankees. Volpe's father, Michael, was an earshot, and he made sure the heckler was addressed. Now, I'm not going to play the video because it's full of a bunch of swear words and it's kind of hard to hear, but it's on TikTok, and it showed what appeared to be his daughter, Olivia, trying to hold Michael Volpe back, but whatever the Mets fan said sent him over the edge. The expletive-laden confrontation from Michael showed he wasn't happy because he said, quote, bad-mouthing my son, bleep you! Bleep you! That's what he said in the video. And I don't think... anyway. I don't think the fan knew it was Volpe's family behind him, but when a family goes to a game of a player, I'm up first. Do they have to ignore things like this? My question, or my answer, as hard as it may be, especially for someone like me, you have to ignore this. You have to ignore this. You're in Queens at a Mets-Yankees game. Your son is not playing great. And he's being heckled. Like, you just have to eat it and go on with your day. Even as much anger as you build up inside of you, leave the game if that's the case. But now you're all over TikTok, and now your son's answering questions about you. And, you know, dad's going to defend his son. But, yeah, you kind of have to leave this at home. What do you think, Tony? Should they ignore this?
Yeah. I mean... I don't know what was being said. I mean, if it was like in the range of normal heckling, we talking about numbers, we talking about how bad you are right now, it's all fair. I listen, you know what I mean? Fat jokes I had to listen to in the stands about my dad, like all the time, mixing a salad. I mean, all kinds of things that for a young kid could be like kind of hurtful, but I was trained at a very early age that, especially when you go into an opposing ballpark, that is the expectation. Those people paid their hard-earned money to come out and talk within the lines that, yeah, the imaginary lines that are there, right? And I think that's fair. Now, if it was personal and we get to talking about, you know, people and...
Yeah, if you go into his personality,
right,
it's different.
Right, that's different. That's different. But I don't know that this was that. And I mean, and on the flip side of that, I don't necessarily begrudge or think Volpe's pops was in the wrong. I mean, this is what we all of us fathers will do. We're going to defend our children no matter what, even if we look a little crazy on IG or TikTok or whatever it is. I think we'd all take those lumps for our kids to a certain extent.
I'm assuming Anthony Volpe's sister is Olivia, who was next to him, and she was like doing the dad look. Come on, dad, stop.
Yeah, she. I think she knew. She was like, we gotta keep it moving.
The video though, when you see it, because if you want to, just search Anthony Volpe dad TikTok, and you'll find it. But it's like so funny because there is a video on this kid who's sitting there who looks so nervous that his dad or whoever he's with at the game is talking to Anthony Volpe's dad. And then the guy just ends up starting to sing God Bless America to, like, kind of smooth it over. Like, okay, I'm done fighting with this guy. God bless him. It's so weird.
Volpe's dad or the guy who's arguing?
The guy who was arguing with him. It was so strange. It was so strange. But, yeah, you got to kind of not answer back.
You can't engage. Because especially nowadays. Now, people, once they know you're connected to, oh, they're going to go harder in a lot of cases.
Especially in New York. I mean, come
on. They get a viral moment out of this? Oh, yeah, right.
I always think that the person who starts it
is the jerk in it, but a lot of people think that Volpe's dead. Anyway, Pittsburgh Pirates outfielder O'Neill Cruz, who we talked about yesterday, announced his entry into the Home Run Derby on Tuesday night next week, joining Atlanta Braves star Ronald Acuna Jr., Cal Raleigh, Byron Buxton, and James Wood. Now, that's five players. How many, or there's three more to go. Pete Alonso said he's not going to do it. Fernando said he's not going to do it. Shohei said he's not going to do it. Give me one player you want to see in the Home Run Derby.
Give me who's in it, who's not in it?
Byron Buxton, James Wood, Cal Raleigh, Ronald Acuna Jr., and O'Neill Cruz.
And who said no?
Ohtani, Fernando, and Pete Alonso.
Probably all three.
All three of those dudes, guys.
Probably the dudes left. I mean, the lineup's pretty good, I think.
Yeah.
I like the bats that are in there, but, I mean, definitely Pete Alonso, definitely Toddy. And who was the other one? Definitely Ohtani. Like, that's pretty simple.
Yeah, but they already said no.
Judge, so. I guess. Judge and...
Has he done one yet?
I don't think he has.
Because
he's like the LeBron James of baseball.
See, that's what I said about Ohtani last week, like an idiot, and then realized that he did compete in a home run derby.
Sorry, buddy.
That was a mistake on my
bad
part.
Bad take is what they like
to say. That
was
a horrible take, I got to say. But I guess if there's anyone I want to see on this, I would love to see Manny in the home run derby, even though it's not going to happen. Does Manny have the type of swing for the home run derby?
I mean, Manny can hit the ball a long way. I don't know that he's a home run derby type of guy.
Yeah, because Pete Crow Armstrong said he has game power. He does not have BP power.
I can feel that. I can feel that.
So he's out. He heard he said he's not good.
PCA is a funny dude, man. I got a chance to meet him when they came here. He just seemed like a good young man.
Yeah, he keeps doing it, too. He's still building on a great season. All right, that is it for the Big Five for today. When we get back, we're going to get you set for game two between the Padres and the Snakes on 97.3 The Fan.